Yeah, so we started discussing yesterday the issue of a terminally ill patient who is terminally ill, as the name indicates, and a life of pain, and there's no cure. Does the Torah sanction that we must do everything at all costs? Is there ever a time where the halacha, Jewish law, doesn't demand that we have to do all the medical procedures or food, etc.? So, as we said, as we mentioned yesterday, we'll have a quick introduction to the issue, to the principles, and then we'll discuss the topic. So we all know, it says called Sirtach in the Torah, thou shalt not murder. So we all know, one is not permitted to murder, killing is okay, killing in Baba Machteres, self-defense. So murder, so therefore we know, if a person is terminally ill and sick in pain, you are not allowed to murder them. And that's what we said, that's mercy killing, euthanasia, active euthanasia is usher based on the Pasuk and Parshas Noach, Shovek Dam, Adam Miyad Achiv, and therefore we learn now, why are you killing your brother? Because you love your brother. You're not even allowed, motivation doesn't make a difference. Even if you love, even if you're killing him because you think you're doing him the favor, it's always usher to kill someone. Then we discussed the Rambam, that it's not only can't you kill the person, but yadayim, a gram metzicha is usher. You're not chayim misa b'day based in, but you're chayim misa b'day shamayim. And therefore, you can't hire a mercenary or hire or tie someone to have a dog or an animal go and kill the person. That's also usher. You're still labeled a rotzeach, even though you're not chayim misa, like we have, like you kill a fetus. You're, according to Ramosha, according to Tito Ezzi, it might not be, it might just be an Issa Mazik, but according to Ramosha, it's an Issa Ritzicha, but you're not chayim misa. Or if you kill a trefa, you're over a Maisa Ritzicha, but you're not chayim misa v'dei shamayim. And then we said as well, there's another prohibition, Osamun Adam Reyecha. I can't stand by idly if someone's in danger and I could save them, either if I could jump, if I'm a lifeguard, I could jump in the water or I could pay someone. I'm obligated, I can't stand by idly and do nothing if someone's suffering and dying and I could save them. So based on Losamon Adam Reyecha, I have to help this person. And the Rambam makes sense that not only to Domim, Losamon Adam Reyecha, Domim Mashma, he says it's Mashma Tarte, that even monetary I'm obligated. Let's say there's a flood coming and I see this guy's, the guy left his laptop outside and I didn't see it's going to rain. So in terms of that, Losamon Adam Reyecha also applies to monetary. So I can't stand by idly. And then we have another issue. The Gemara tells us in the Durham, a mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, the mitzvah of visiting the sick. So we're used to Bikur Cholim. We just show up, say hello, goodbye, and we're out of there. But really, back in the day, we're visiting someone in the hospital. They're the doctors, the nurses. But back in the day, when you did Bikur Cholim, you basically took care of Bikur Cholim and you were taking care of the sick. There's a famous story in Gemara in Durham with Rabbi Akiva. He had many students, but somehow I guess he took attendance and Yaakov was gone, making up the name. So he went to the dorm and he cleaned the room, he washed them up, he put on his pajamas. You know, he basically took care, because Bikur Cholim means you're taking, you have to do the maximum possible in order to take care of the maids. And that's why it brings down in Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim that you don't, you shouldn't go do your Bikur Cholim in the first early parts of the day, because the guy's fresh. Oh, he looks great. Well, I don't have to pray for this guy. He looks pretty good to me. And if you go at the end of the day, it looks like he's half dead. There's no point in praying for him. So you go in a time where it's enough where you could help him, but also you realize you have to pray. So the Ramban writes, based on this Gemara and other sources, that part of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is to pray. It's mashma according to the Ramban. And see, we've seen Tapaskin this way. If you go do Bikur Cholim and you don't pray for Refuah Shlema, you're lacking in your mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So part of Bikur Cholim is not, besides the physical needs and spiritual needs, you also have to be mispala. Because Bikur Cholim is based on Hashavas Aveda, to heal people. Just like the purpose is to return the lost object, and we learn out the Gemara Sanhedrin, Hashavas Gufo. Someone's sick, you have to return their life as well. So therefore, all part of these mitzvahs. So, and as well, so we said, it's not, so go tzirtzach, mercy killing, gram ritzicha, and bikur cholim, losamen adam reyecha. As well, okay, so I can't do it. What about he'll just kill himself? So no, that's another prohibition, suicide, that the pasuk also in Parashas Noach, that not, in fact suicide's worth the murder, you lose your chelok and olam haba, etc. So you can't commit suicide either. However, the pasuk says ach by suicide. We could look up the, before I should have a Baal Korah here so he could read us the pasuk. But so it says it's an iser to commit suicide, but it says ach. So we know ach is a rock, is a mashma that, but certain, it's not always asked to commit suicide. Certain times it's mutter. So what's the famous case? That's the Medrash writes on by Shaul with the Ger HaMaleki. He told the Ger HaMaleki, so you know, different versions how you learn that story, whether he himself, you know, stabbed, whether Ger HaMaleki stabbed him, he took the knife and fell on it. But ultimately, to the Talmud Lomaach, to exclude that Shaul HaMelech, he was okay in his situation. He was under tremendous pain and suffering. In his case, it was permissible. That's what it's different days in the Midrashim, whether Shaul did the right thing. But working in this opinion, let's assume Shaul did the right thing. So we see there are exceptions to suicide. So therefore, what about here? Let's say, it's like Shaul was in pain, suffering. Maybe, let's say someone, I can't kill the guy. He's terminal, he's in pain, he's screaming out, let me die in peace. Please let me, you know, give me some poison pills. And so actually, in fact, that was the Shaila they had many years ago. I think from the Kol Sofayach, wrote, has it in a Sefer. One of the big Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. This goes back a while. It was I'm not sure if it was a hypothetical or a real case. I'm sure it happened, but the case was the soldier was, I guess, they prepare all the soldiers for torture and all that, and they give them suicide pills. Like if you feel you're going to be tortured, you know, then, I don't know if they still do it, you know, I don't care if it's true or not, it's the principle anyway. But so they were asked, is the soldier who thinks he's afraid he's going to be tortured and he's going to give away secrets, you know, is he allowed to do it? So he goes through a whole discussion there with Shaul. It gets into why was Shaul. Some say the reason why Shaul was allowed because the Navi told him he was going to die, so he knew. But you never know. Others say because he was the Melech Yisrael. Imagine the Chil Hashem dragging the body of the King of Israel in front. And others point out, which I like the best answer, no, he was actually saving lives. Because what would have happened if he was taken captive? How many people would have tried to rescue him and would have been killed? So actually, by him killing, in an ironic sense, by him dying, he saved. So similarly here, the question is, so according to the Medrash, whatever the reason that we see, there are exceptions, that if someone's, we're learning the Medrash at this point, that Shaul was in a life of pain, he was dying, so he was allowed to finish it off. So interesting, the Rav Yosef Cairo, who wrote the Machaber and the Beis Yosef, he doesn't mention anything in there about this case, but in the addendums to the Beis Yosef, he, you know, on the Tor, who was the son of the Rush, he writes, so on the Beis Yosef writes on the Tor, so he writes that, he calls it the Bedek Habayis, you know, like, I'm fixing up stuff that I left out, this is what I want to tell you. So in the Bedek Habayis in Simen Kuf Nun Zayin, he quotes this Halacha L'maisa. He quotes in the Medrash that says that, yeah, that just like Shaul HaMelech, in certain extreme cases, you're allowed to commit suicide. Someone's terribly, terminal pain, screaming, let me go, you're permitted to give him poison pills, which is a big Kiddush Halacha, because no one, Halacha L'maisa, we don't really, that opinion's not really accepted, but it was amazing that the base, you know, that there's even an opinion like, you know, it's the Beis Yosef. So Yosef, we listen to him on a lot of things, but even it's not the normative psak, but in fact, he would even say that you could even commit, you know, that someone else can't kill you, mercy killing, but you can kill yourself. So based on the ach. So always brought up as the stipler, that's why I always brought up as well, and I guess me and the stipler are brought up the same way. He was the brother-in-law of the Chazon Ish. Rav Chaim Kinesko, maybe that's the son. I always call him the stipler son, but he's probably about 80 now, because I only, when I knew the stipler, Tequila's Yaakov, yeah, so I guess it was Rav Yaakov. Stipler, I think, is the town in Europe, where he, in Poland, where he came from. So he was, he wasn't a big posting, not, he could have been, but I'm saying, but he wrote different things. You know, he got the Chazon Ish Paskin, the Shilas. So he wrote, when I was, he was saying him, and he's one of the Gadol. When I was growing up, thinking, you know what, I always thought, you know what, there's a mitzvah to keep someone alive at all costs, no matter what. Like, you know, you break the Guinness, all you have to do no matter what, you always have to live as long as you can. And then when I got older, I realized it's not necessarily the case. There is no mitzvah to live forever, or, you know, whatever forever means, or there is no mitzvah to break the Guinness World Record. It has to be, how do we know that? Well, because we know the Gemara in Ksuv is the famous Rama in Yoredeya about the person was dying. It's the Gemara in Ksuv is with Rebbe, he was dying, and what happened was there was, and he was in terrible pain, stomach, it's a whole, the end of Ksuv is a couple of, many different stories with Rebbe, about the death of Rebbe. We'll see with the Roman soldier, he's going to pray, we'll get to that in a second. But the Rama quotes this to Halacha, that let's say there's someone dying, terminally ill, life of pain. And he's a ghost, I think the Rama's case is he's a ghost ace, so, you know, very little time to live, you know, let's say within 72 hours, who knows, but he's a ghost ace. So let's say, and the only thing keeping him alive, I guess however they knew it, was the noise, the wood chopper. So the shy was, could you tell the wood chopper to stop chopping? Because if he starts chopping, he's going to die. So the Rama Paskins, yes, one can tell him, you know, do you have to tell him? The question is, are you allowed to not tell the wood chopper? Maybe because this guy's suffering now. But whether you can, whether you have to or you can, you certainly can. And that's what the Rama writes. You tell the wood chopper to stop, and the person could die. Similarly, the Rama has the case where you put salt on the tongue. Somehow, if you take off the salt off the tongue, somehow the person will die. So the Rama writes. So we see from the Rama that there is no, the guy, maybe you should get shifts. You should have a wood chopper for the next 6 years, and the guy could, no, we don't see that. And that's the whole Gemara in Ksuvos, that Rebbe was a very sick person, and he got, what does the Ran see from this Gemara? So in addition, the Gemara talks about Amsa de Rebbe. She was a very holy person, and she got into a fight with the students about Rebbe was suffering and pain. She told them, like, stop praying for him. He's better off dead than alive. And I guess they finally listened. You know, it's a different version. So how did she get them to stop praying? She threw a glass jar out the window, and they, of what do all kids do? They ran out to see what it was. When they came back, Rebbe was dead. So the Ran says, why is the Gemara quoting me from Amsa the Rebbe? It must be we passing like Amsa the Rebbe, and therefore you have that it's a mitzvah to pray to end someone's life. The Rama brings down, you could tell a person to stop chopping wood, maybe even should, and the Ran says, we see from this Gemara, there's a mitzvah to pray. If a person is in this situation, Amsa the Rebbe was right, there's a mitzvah to pray that God should take this person's life. Of course, as the post can point out, we do pass him like this, Ron. We'll see the Sitz Eliezer would disagree. But we pass him, but the post can point out, but it's a good idea if it's not you, meaning it shouldn't be close family members, because you might be Nogea Bedover. You might want the old man dead to get to Yerusha. You might have your own, I can't deal with the suffering anymore. You might have your own Nagia. So therefore, it's very important that someone who's an objective bystander, you know, not you, it doesn't look right. The kids are, you know, praying that their parents died. So, but the concept is that Ran writes is a mitzvah. If a person's in a situation where he's better off alive than dead, so then, which is a shaila in general, does that exist? Is there a situation where you could be, is there such thing as being better off dead than alive? Is that true? In other words, How does Jewish law view this? The Sitz Eliezer, Rev Blach says, no. Yafesh Sha'achas B'tshuva U'maisim Tovim, it's great in Olam Haba. There's no such thing. every moment, every second you're alive, you have to rise above the pain and just do one thing and that's it. Any time of life is better than death. That's the Sitso Yezer. And others disagree and say, no, there is a point, you know, the devil in the detail when that point is, but there is a point where a person is better off dead than alive. Well, just to bring a raya, I guess, for the Sitso Yezer first, I'll see who the raya is for after, as I'm saying it over, when I think about it, I'll tell you who the raya is for. But there's from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in the Osher HaChaim, he writes, the famous Gemara in Sota, Medrash, there were three advisors to Paro. It was about Moshe. Iyov, Balak, Iyov, Bilam, and Yisro. So it says, Mida Keneged Mida. Yisro said he couldn't, he said, save the Jew, don't, you know, and he took off and he gave up a prominent position. And Bilam said, kill the Jews. He was killed, and Iyov lived a life of pain. So who do we view now? Who's worse, Iyov or Bilam? We assume Bilam's worse. So from here we see death is worse. So we see a life of pain. Iyov is better off than Bilam, so we see a life of pain is better than death. On the other hand, people want to bring a raya from Tosis and Ksuvis that when they talk about Chanyanim, Mishal, Vazarya, so the Gemara says, or the Rishonim say, that thank God they were asked to give up their life. To give up their life, they could do, but if they were going to be tortured, then no. And was, but then I don't know if they were going to be able to do it. So imagine that a life of pain is worse. You know, so therefore, it's different schools of thought to the in the Sitz Eliezer camp of Blech, that is Yafa Sha'achas of Mima. So that's what Rapam points out. So that makes more sense than you have to make a chiluk between a coma and a not coma. If you're comatose, it's hard to say you're doing a tshuva sha'achas. But if a person is a big, you know, that's why by a coma there's more room not to do things. But in a case where a person is alive, you know, and awake, so this, and when you have a chance. And you know, and you have a chance to do things. It's more to discuss. So that's the whole question here. So the Magen Avraham brings down from the Shulchan Aruch that let's say it gets into the case of when do we listen? When do we listen to the patient? When don't we? So he gets into the different. Basically, he gets into the details. Let's say a 20-year-old kid said, you know what? They say, you have gangrene, you have to cut off your leg, we're going to put a plastic leg on, this and that, you know, you go to Stryker, we do it all the time, and it's not a, and the guy says, no, I want to die. Too bad, we don't listen to him. Batul daitzel kotzel adam, and we force him, we do it, we don't let him. I'm sure in Canada they'll let him, I don't know what the new rule is. But, and on the other hand, it says, you know, someone who, you know, if someone's in a terrible situation, you're 99 and you're suffering pain, so then it's understood, you know, the patient has the right to say, you know, everyone agrees and you can listen to the patient. We'll see for what in a minute. And then, the shaila is, the Magen Avraham brings down, is the issue is, let's say, those are cases, you know, are two extremes. What about a case of suffix sakana? It's over 50%. Let's say, in the cases where it's unreasonable or reasonable, so then it's clear. Then everyone knows. If it's an objectively reasonable or unreasonable, we don't care what the patient has to say. If he's being unreasonable, we don't listen. However, if it's 50-50, or, you know, more than 50-50, so then it's a suffix. Then we say we have a right to ask the chola. What do you mean? We know it's not the chola's body. He's not the balabas over his body. So yeah, as the Magadam point, he's not the balabas over the body, but he is the balabas to decide whether for him this is a suffix sakana or not. In other words, we see this concept by Bikuach Nefesh, and you'll hear more about it on the Shiurim in the end of Pesach. I don't know if you'll hear it. I'm sure you'll hear about it at some point, because that's the risk management Shiur, so it gets into suffix Bikuach Nefesh, so... You'll get to hear. But basically, it's a famous Meiser with the Chafetz Chaim when he went to visit in Poland in the late 1920s. So there were a lot of anti-Semites, no shortage of those in Poland and all over. So they asked the Chafetz Chaim, two people came to him, the same exact Shaila, they didn't know one another. And so what was the Shaila? You know, we don't have a lot of money. Right now, things are okay. We feel the anti-Semitism coming on. And I realize, I know, on a whim, I might have to just go and take my family on a train and get out of town because we're going to kill us. And so he wants to know if he could work on Shabbos now because he needs more money. So the Chafetz Chaim said to the guy, do you really think he's a real sakhan? Like, you really fear, you're nervous, you're not going to have enough money right now? He said, yeah. He said, okay, so go work on Shabbos. And then an hour later, a different guy with the same exact Shaila came to him and said, are you really nervous? Oh, no, I don't really. Everyone's saying this. I don't believe. I'm not nervous about it at all. Then you can't work on Shabbos. In other words, so we see that you're the Baal HaBos to decide if you're suffix sakana. Like the Chazon Ish said something similar. The Chazon Ish, when in the middle of World War, when he was in Israel, so the Nazis were bombing. They didn't quite get to Israel, but they were bombing close to Israel or whatever, in the distance. So that was the day before radar. So how did they know at night? That's why they told you don't light any fires or any light, because that they could see. If it's pitch black, they don't know where to bomb. You know, now they have radar system. That probably won't help. But back in, you know, if you're on a boat, they tell you don't light a fire, you know, because people could see it then. So the issue was like this. So let's say, so obviously if they're bombing your town, you know, let's say here, they could hear the bombs, but let's say they were 5 miles away, you know, wherever it was, but you could hear them. So this person wanted to make sure that to shut off the lights, because back in the day, they used to have fake systems, like in New York, where, and a lot of times they did it on Friday night. So some rabbis didn't do it. They took the fine. They said, it's not a danger. I know it's a fake. So sometimes the people let them go. Other times they gave them a ticket. But this was a real thing. So the Chazon Ish, so someone asked, so the case was like this. So in this town, this person was really afraid that he wants, so obviously it doesn't help if he shuts off his lights, but his next door neighbor has his lights on. So the Chazon Ish Paskin, if one person in town feels it's a real suffix sakana, so then you're allowed to go ahead and everyone has to shut off the lights. So you're not the Baal HaBos over your own body, but you are the Baal HaBos to decide, you know, what makes you nervous, what doesn't make you nervous. And therefore, that's what they point out. That's the whole question, the judgment call about, let's say, I don't know if we read it, but the Haftorah from Metzorah is about the Metzorim outside the town, and the four of them, Gehazi, and they went to the enemy, and they were willing to risk it. Because either way, they said, if we stay here, we're dead, but we might live a couple more days, but should we risk our lives? So the Poskim quote this in the medical rishai was, can I do a surgery? If I don't do anything, let's say I have, you know, maybe I can live a couple of months, a couple of more years even. But if I do the surgery and it's successful, if it doesn't go, I'll die right away. But if I'm successful, I could live for another 25, I could live a normal life. So the post can say, you know, when it's permitted, if the person wants, obviously it's a judgment call. If a person wants to take, you know, you're a Baal HaBos to make that decision. Interesting, there's a Rav David Zvi Hoffman, who was a Malami, a big posik in Germany, and he was asked a shaila about, there was like a very young kid, I don't know, 4-year-old girl, boy, and there was a serious, it was a case where, you know, I guess the cancer acquit, whatever, it was something where you had to do a major, it was the same, if you didn't do anything, she was going to die in a couple of weeks, months, year, whatever, you know, or similar shaila. So Rav Svihav and Paskin, Al Pidin, only the patient's allowed to make that decision. And since it's a 4-year-old girl, the parents, no one else can make that decision, and you can't do the surgery on her. Rav Moshe, in principle, agreed, but he says no. He says, but if you don't have a next of kin, he goes with the North America, next of kin, the close kin, the parents can make that decision. Because he says, why? But you don't have a right. You know, a person only has a right to determine how. So Rav Moshe writes, it's an umdina, that you're going to know what the next of the kin wanted. So that's what the Magen Avraham, another post can bring down, Rav Yaakov Emden, that it's this gray area where a person has, if it's a black and white case. So some say Rav Moshe says, like, even in the other direction, like, it's clearly, if a person, let's say, is 20, doesn't want the leg, then of course you don't listen. But the way Rav Shakta quoted Rav Moshe anyway, that, let's say it's someone, 99%, 999 of 1,000 would not want to live that way. Even if he does, you don't listen to him. I thought that was a big chiddush. As he's saying, unless he's learning the Ramah case that Rebbe wanted to live and he still took it away. I think that point's debatable. Some say, it doesn't make any sense. If a person says, I don't care, I want to live in the way he's saying, well, Ramosha, the guy's nuts, you don't listen to him. I don't know. If a person wants to, either way, but that's what he thinks to say it in both directions. I find the other way more difficult to say. That if a person, kill him anyway. Someone wants to live, I don't know why you ever have a right to kill them. I'll determine I'll get much more. I don't care. Yafa Sha'acha, so I don't know about that. But either way, but the main issue, if it's 50-50, more than 50%, so it's the person's decision. So that's the whole question. So we said, so passive euthanasia. So a person is terminally ill. So we see, we don't have to keep a person alive all the time. That's the Ramah about the cutting of the wood, the chopping of the wood. But at what point do you say that you don't have to? So again, terminally ill patient, pain. So according to the Ramah writes, the Ramah is talking about a gose. So the question, if it's extended to other people also, because or a tray for someone who's going to die within the year. So the question is, are you allowed to, not put a person like on the respirator, not give them food, all that? So basically it's there's two schools of thought how you learn the Ramah. You have both extremes. You have one shot in the Ramah, then no. You got to do everything. You have to give them all the food, all the medical, everything to do to keep the person alive, you got to do. Why? Because what's the Ramah talking about? The Ramah's talking about chopping wood. The person's not dying from the person didn't die because the wood chopper, he died from a sickness. It was the chopping of the wood that kept him alive. It's what they call hasaras hamoneya. You're removing the obstacle that's keeping the person alive. That's why some mistakenly want to say, oh, okay, so I can pull out the plug on the respirator. I'm not touching the guy, no. When you pull the respirator out, you take out the tube feeding. He's dying from starvation, from lack of nutrients, or he's dying, that's the direct link. But some want to say that no, the Ramah basically saying you don't have to do anything. How you doing?
Have a good night.
You too.
Can you set the alarm on your way up?
Just remind me what the code is.
It's star 2.
That's an easy one to remember. There are a lot of different ones. Okay, that will be the one tonight. Everyone has their own. Okay, you'll remember it?
You can
want to
open the front door, correct?
What? Or back door, whichever side, whatever you want to call it. I call it the front door.
I call it the front door.
Yes, so it's a base Yaakov and the other Yaakov, the Shvus Yaakov, and the other one says, no, you don't have to do anything. Basically, Ramah is saying is that you're a goses, so you're not obligated to do anymore. You know, if a person's at that stage of a goses, the Ramah is basically saying one doesn't have to. You have two extremes. You got to do everything. You don't do anything. You don't have to do. So there's a Ramosha and Rav Shlomo Zalman have a middle ground, which is the normative halacha. That in a situation like this, so Ramosha and Rav Shlomo Zalman independently came to the same conclusion. Food and oxygen, you have to give no matter what. Any type of medical intervention, let's say if you maybe dialysis, you want to do other type of medical things, that you wouldn't. If a person's terminally ill, goses, all that, but food and oxygen, they say you have to do. And that's the chiluk they make. So then within food and oxygen, you have a major question. Does food include tube? Does that just mean normal eating and normal breathing? Or does it mean, are you obligated to put them on a ventilator or a tube feeding? So that's different opinions within Rav Moshe. I'd say the normative opinion within Rav Moshe, the one Rav Moshe Tendler said, was that no, that's Rav Moshe's Shita. It doesn't make a difference. Tube feeding and ventilator, you're mechuyev. It doesn't make a difference what the person wants. Oxygen and food is no matter what, and therefore even against their will. And the only thing you can do if the person stops breathing or the heart stops, you're not mechuyev to do the tablets and do the paddles. And Rev Schechter, among other, I think Rev David Halevi from Tel Aviv, Rev Schechter has a different. The issue is like this. He doesn't think you have to. You know, every case is different. It's a kasha. His kasha is on Rev Moshe and Rev Shlomo Zalman. He doesn't understand why in that case. He's saying if it's understood that a person would not want to live in this situation, so why would I be mechuyev to put them on a ventilator? It's in a clear case. He said, so they asked, I think the Nishmas, the Dr. Avram, who's like a Talmud of Rav Shlomo, he said, why did Rav Shlomo Zalman say it? He says, it's a good question, I don't know. And someone suggested to him, maybe it was more like it was a new takana, that he was worried about the slippery slope. If you tell a doctor they don't have to put the oxygen, and then okay, so a baby who comes without an arm, so maybe they were concerned about a slip. Maybe he felt, that's the way Rav Schechter likes learning. Be'ikara didn't even, he thinks Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman agree to him, but they didn't want to say it because of the slippery slope. Well, it might happen afterwards, but strictly speaking, he said, that's Rav Schechter's view. He says, that's what it comes down to. How do you view, everyone agrees to oxygen and food, but what about, according to maybe the Beda Kabayis or Yosef Karo, you could even take a poison, but we don't accept. But he says, the issue is, what's the machokas, how you learn, let's say the machokas, we have Tenler versus Rav Schechter, there are many others, but then what's the issue? So obviously, Rav Tenler is learning Rav Moshe, that he's saying Pshat and Rav Moshe, that since functionally, if this is the only way you could eat, so that's food. And so that's the only way he doesn't view it as a medical intervention. He views ventilator not as actual oxygen. And Rav Schechter says, no, that's medical intervention. If it's medical intervention, so then you could do it. That's one way you could. One, you could say he holds like Rav Moshe, but he just doesn't say Rav Moshe is saying it about that. And here, or he seems to be saying, maybe he's going against Rav Moshe. He's saying, he thinks Rav Moshe agrees with him. He just didn't want to say it because he said, why? He said, there's no, why, you're not, why you have to put him on the ventilator? There's no prohibition of Lo Samen Odam Reyecha. It's a situation where no one would want to live in this situation. And therefore, he thinks it's okay. You wouldn't have, again, every case is, you have to ask. I think the Nishas Avram, they quoted another pshat from Rav Shlomo Zalman, which is difficult. Yeah, no, you have to give the oxygen and that, but you should, but you could, but um, but you don't, but you, but you should, but you should pray that the medicine shouldn't help. You know, so it's a good. If anything, I see the opposite. I said, I guess. So he's saying is, pi derech hateva, whatever, or normal and medical, I have to give him the medicine. But you know, but ultimately, it only works if God who has. So therefore, he's being mispalel that that it doesn't help. So that's what it comes down to. How you reconcile the Gemara in Tzuvis with Rebbe. About one hand, we have one last Gemara with this to throw in, is the Gemara with Chananya ben Trajon, that from that Gemara, the story is the Roman officer, this guy, they were burning him at the stake, so he told the Roman officer, he said, if you let me die quicker, whatever, you put the coal, whatever he did, he took the coal out of the fire, whatever, he did something to make what you do, he said, if you guarantee me Olam Haba, then I'll do it. So he said, okay. I don't know how he could guarantee him Olam Haba, but he did. So he did something to hasten his death. But the end of the Gemara says, when his students came and they said, Rebbe, open up your mouth so you could die quicker. He says, no, I have no right to take my life even 1 second early, and therefore I won't go. So how do you... So from the first part of the Gemara, it's mashma... You can do things to hasten your life, hasten your death. So it depends. So maybe you can be machalak. In the case of the mouth, he was doing it to himself. He was opening his mouth, but I guess he didn't go with the better kabayas. If you could take poison, you could definitely open your mouth. But he didn't even want to open his mouth to say you have to go. You know, so Rav Moshe writes that maybe Ben Noach is different. Maybe a Ben Noach's allowed to do it. Or maybe it was a horasha. Rav Moshe says you can't bring a raya from this Gemara. But the Chasam told you, we see from here that they like the end of the Gemara, Sha'achash, you're not allowed to even hasten your life even one bit. So, and obviously there's a big difference between the case of the wood chopper, that's not medical science anyway. That's metaphysical. And also the Gemara says, it's no kash. I think this is the way we're Rev Bleichhorn to sit there, and to me, I don't like the conclusion, but I like the one that makes sense to me. They think that the Ramah is limited to a ghosty. Someone's going to die in the next 72 hours. The Ramah just says about not chopping wood. So chopping wood has nothing to do with medical treatment. And praying, okay, you can pray all you want. As long as you give the person, I could pray. You know, that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman saying. You could, while you give the medicine, I'm only giving the medicine because I think I have to. Halacha dictates I have to. But I think you're better off dead. So what I'm pointing out is you could pray for someone's death at the same time, also give them medicine. And the fact that you stopped a wood chopper doesn't mean, it's a big difference stopping the wood chopper and pulling the plug from someone. So those are some of the issues in terms of end-of-life issue with the ghostes, etc. You know, we didn't get into autopsy and organ transplants yet. Maybe another day. Any kashas?
Well, it's just